B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. It is Cutcher and Rich, and at Boston Barber, which is where I get my hair cut. Shout out to Sarah, who's over there. Also owned by the same company as Boston Barber and Tattoo, where many a Bruin get their hair cut and tattoos as well. There was a situation that happened a couple of days ago where Steven Silva, who's one of the barbers there, he's freshly back because, unfortunately, you know, just like many businesses during COVID, they've had to take some time off. He's freshly back, able to work again, and there was a, a horrible accident that happened, and the guy is a longtime listener of the show, one of the nicest guys, and something kind of awful happened, and we're I wanted to bring on the owner of Boston Barber with us because this story is nuts. This is Rob Delarusso, who is Milan Lucic? Whose hair have you cut before there, Rob?
Lucic is one of the original ones, but you know, that whole 2011 team, Lucic, Ferenc, Boychuk, Chara, I mean, pretty much the whole team. Even the coaches got the haircut at my shop those couple of years. So it was it's really fun during that time period. It's unfortunate that we're in this situation right now. But
Yeah. So kind of tell everyone what happened to Steven at your store.
So, I mean, it was just such a freak thing. Like, what a crazy week this has been. I can tell you that much. But so Steve... I hate to laugh because it's just really crazy. It's an extremely sad story, but at the same time, it's just totally insane. But we have like an ongoing joke in the shop that Steve seems to fall a lot. But this time was close to fatal fall. But he was you know, just in his regular element cutting hair, and as he was walking to the other side of the client's head. To this moment, I'm still not even sure if he tripped on the mat, on his own feet, or how it happened, but he went straight down. But he had a comb and a spray bottle in one hand and the scissors in the other. So it's not like he had, I guess if he would just drop everything and like put his hands down like to break his fall, but it seemed to happen so quick in whatever way he had the shears positioned. He stabbed himself right in the center of the chest. I mean, and the shears we use, they're barber shears. So they're 7 inches long. So they're not these little tiny things you see, like, you know, hairdressers use. So
yeah.
It's a different way of cutting. It's a barber style. But the shears are 7 inches long. And it seems like he just, all his weight just went straight onto the shears, right into his chest. And very, very close to his heart. I guess he hit an artery. And like, I didn't even know this. I'm like, you're supposed to pull it out. You're supposed to leave it in. So now I understand you're supposed to leave it in.
So what happens? So he falls, and then what does... Because I saw in the video, it looks like it was Sarah, who cuts my hair, came running in, and yes. Then the video cuts out. Like, what do you do after he falls like that?
Okay, so what happened is, he gets up on his knees, like, immediately. He knew that he stabbed himself, and he pulled the scissors out himself. He pulled it right out of his chest. So when he did that, the place just filled up with blood, and that's when Sarah jumped into action. She got another. She took off her gloves, and people say, why would she take off her gloves? But her gloves are covered in hair, and probably, you know, probably the best thing to do was just get rid of those, like, immediately. So she took another pair of scissors, cut his shirt wide open, and just immediately started putting pressure to the wound. And they had me on the phone while it was happening because I was in my North End location. And they were like, Rob, what the hell are we going to do here? I'm like, just call 911, put as much pressure on the wound as possible, and just wait for them because there's really not much more you can do. And Steve's client, he was another one, was very calm about the whole situation. He jumped out of the chair. He went and got some clean towels, and he helped Sarah out until, you know, they got there. I mean, Sarah, I tell you, she's really tough. She like, she didn't bat an eyelash. And then after the fact, I called him, like, are you okay? She's like, it's just finally setting in now. Oh. She's like, I'm a little sick about it, thinking about it. But at the moment, like, I just had to do what I had to do.
So what is Steven? Is Steven on his back? And is he talking at that time?
Yeah, he's on his back. He was talking. He actually said, I stabbed myself. He said it out loud. Yeah. And so he's coherent, but I guess he was losing a lot of blood really fast, and he was turning white. So the client was trying to calm down and talk to him and keep him stable and keep him, like, awake so he didn't pass out.
And Sarah, meanwhile, is keeping the pressure on the chest. Sarah might have saved his life.
Absolutely. I've been telling her. I sent her a long message yesterday just telling her how proud I am of her, and, like, it's just amazing how she just – she didn't panic. She just jumped right in there, and she said she can't wait for Steve to be okay so she can break his balls for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's the ultimate thing to have over us.
All right. So, that's right. You owe me now. So, all right, the EMTs show up, and they get him, and the police are there too. And I was reading in the news how they wouldn't let you guys clean up the blood. And why was that?
So I guess Nikki... this is one of my other barbers. She was trying to clean up the blood, and the cops scared her. They told her, don't stop cleaning it up. This is a crime scene until we prove that this was actually an accident. And that's why I said on one of the news stations, like, okay, you call the police, you come in. It went in as a stabbing. It was strange. I had a few of my buddies that are cops that were in my shop in the North End, and they came in, and they're like, Rob, there's a stabbing in your shop. I'm like, why are they writing it down as a stabbing? That was an accident. But at the same time, it's like the cops come and you want to tell them, yeah, like, what happened here? Well, the guy fell down and he fell on his own scissors.
Right. It sounds like you're making it up. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it sounds like I tried to murder the guy and I'm making up a story.
Jeez, so, man. But you had video, thank goodness, because, I mean, we've seen it all over the news now.
Yeah. So the cops wouldn't allow us to clean until they saw the video
footage
that actually happened.
Right. So. Oh, crazy, man. How is he doing now? Like, what's the, cause now this happened, I'm sorry, was it Saturday or Friday that happened?
It was Friday on noon.
Okay. And how's he doing now?
He's doing okay. I guess I just got a message from them moving him to out of ICU. So he's like, he's on the mend right now. He's okay. He's been a great sport about it. I know a lot of people can make, like, some funny jokes and stuff like that. But Steve, like, if you guys have been in the shop at all, you know how Steve is. He's just a cool kid.
Yeah, you know. He's good. But, I mean, it's weird, too, because, I mean, I read and I posted the GoFundMe for him right now. You can go to @Toucher and Rich if you want to help them out. But, I mean, the one thing that it said on the GoFundMe is that nobody really knew how bad this was until they had to crack open his ribs and give him open heart surgery. Because wasn't he like half an inch away from his heart? Like, he would have died if it was a half an inch in one direction.
Absolutely. I mean, because it hit an artery. It hit, like, because I know there's all kinds of ventricles and stuff like that connected to your heart. But I mean, it said in the police report, dead center of the chest. I mean, we all know the heart is a little more shifted to the left or right or whichever part of your chest you're talking about. So, and 7 inches deep. I mean, this kid could have died on the spot within seconds.
God, 7 inches deep. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, well.
Flat on his face, straight into the shears, straight into his chest. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like, I can't even wrap my head around that this even still happened.
Well, I just think that, I mean, you know, that's crazy. Sarah saved his life. I mean, there's no question. Acting fast like that, because none of us know how we would act in that situation. Like, none of us, you know, not many of us have been tested like that. But the fact that, like, without giving in two craps, she just jumped up. You can see it on the video. Jumps on top of the guy, starts putting pressure on it, and I mean, she saved his life.
Wasted no time. And I said it to him, Mike, I am so impressed that you. I mean, it seemed like zero panic. She was just, like, ready to rock, Sarah. So, like, she's just unbelievable. I mean, everybody in there, like, Steve just being cool about the whole thing, and Sarah, my whole staff, they're great up there. They just do such a wonderful job. I'm so proud of all of them.
That's great.
You know, happy Steve is going to be okay. But he's been, like I said, he's been a good sport. He's eating all this up. Like, he's seeing it on the news and seeing all the love that people are giving him. Like, sometimes you don't realize how much people, like, care about you until something drastic happens. Unfortunately, like, you know, that sometimes things like this have to happen for you to realize it, but he's going to be okay.
Well, good for him. As I said, you can go to @Toucher and Rich, and you can go to the GoFundMe right there. Good guy. I mean, as I said, I can't say enough good things about him, and that's awesome that Sarah did that too. I just, Rob, I've got one last question, because you just mentioned at the beginning of this that the 2011 Bruins were like your guys. Like, I mean, they all came in for haircuts, and they came in for, did they get their tattoos there as well?
Oh, yeah. Torrey Krug has gotten a bunch of tattoos in there. Milan's gotten a bunch of tattoos. The only, Ferentz didn't get a tattoo in there because he had, like, his own personal guy he goes to for all his work. So we've had them. Even their wives have gotten multiple tattoos in there. And so it's just, like, it became, like, such a cool, fun place for them to all come in and hang out. I'm still in touch with Lucic, like, every other day. I talked to Ferentz a couple days ago. So they became actual close friends, which is a nice memory to have.
Okay. Okay. Rob, I just want to know, did you give Brad Marchand the misspelled Stanley Cup champions tattoo?
No. He gets his hair cut at the shop, but he didn't get tattooed in there.
Okay. I thought it was Sagan who had
no,
his
misspelled. No, it's Marchand. Oh, okay. Marchand has the misspelled.
Okay. But they're matching. He and Sagan went together.
He misspelled champion. So, I mean, right. I know that wouldn't be. Yours is the high-quality tattoo place. I know you wouldn't have misspelled it, right?
Yeah, no, that's not us. We wouldn't do such a
thing. No, I've seen. Did you give Sarah her twins from The Shining tattoos that she's got? Because those things are terrifying.
Sarah's gotten multiple tattoos from us, but she's like a tattoo enthusiast. She'll go from like, she'll travel all over the place and get her tattoos from a bunch of different people. You see her, she's covered in them. So
yeah, she's running out of pallet space to work, I think.
Yeah, no more real estate on there for
all right, Rob. Well, listen, if you do talk to Steven, give him our best, because that's I'm glad he's okay. All right, well, I appreciate it, Rob. Good talking to Rob from Boston Barber and Tattoo and Boston Barber. Appreciate it, man. That story is nuts.
That's 7 inches. That's crazy.
It makes, like, I mean, I know you can't do this because it's your job, but, like, that would make me not want to use anything other than, like, a buzzer. You know, like, I wouldn't want to use scissors ever again if I were him.
Oh, sure. I mean, just think about how many things had to just go for this to happen like that. I mean, the chances of that happening are so small.
Sure.
But, I mean, for that to just, I mean, the video is crazy because you see him fall, and it doesn't even look like a bad fall at first. And he's right. In his right hand, he's got, like, his, you know, water bottle, and you know, you can't even see what he's carrying in the left hand. And when he falls, it just kind of looks like he's trying to get back up. And that's when you see Sarah, who's in the chair next to him, jump over there and, like, grab him. And on the news, they cut it, probably because no one wants to see on TV him pull the thing out of his chest, which just, I guess you leave it in, according to the doctors. You keep it in there, but holy crap. So you can go to @Toucher and Rich if you want to help that out. I don't know how to transition into anything else right now, so if you guys want to speak amongst yourselves, by all means.
Well, no, I feel like, you know, like,
you have anything wacky lined up?
No, I feel like, Rich, you've been giving yourself haircuts. I just, you know, just be careful.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dude, you're going to just walk right into Fenway Park. We're on the baseball field right now. We're on the baseball field of Fenway Park. And I don't see anyone. I mean, I'm kind of messed up, so I can't really tell. But, dude, this is crazy. We're on Fenway Park. We're Fenway Park. This is like worldwide known for baseball. Dude, what?
No, we're on Fenway Park right now. This never happens. You don't get to experience.
He's ready to batter up. Wait, this is where to pitch though. This is where they pitch. They pitch right here. Yeah. I'll pitch. I'll pitch the game. You ready for this? Ready? Ah! Get a home run. Bro.
Well, that's going to be the most exciting thing to happen to Fenway this year. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And that right there is a video of two guys who snuck into Fenway this weekend and ran across the field. Obviously, huge baseball fans saying things like, this place is world famous for baseball, and I'll pitch the game.
This is where you pitch.
I'll pitch the game.
Hit a home run, bro.
To be honest, I was waiting for the moment where a certain hero came onto the scene.
B to the I to the R to the B.
Where's security man Bird?
Tackle Fenway those asses, yeah.
I know. I want to know where Bird was during all this. Why didn't he go out there and regulate? I was. I thought it was going to end with a bang, but it did not. So that's that video. It's you know, gone viral now. It was posted on TikTok, and now the police are looking for these two guys. And I've got mixed feelings on this. My first thought was, all right, don't turn these guys in. Everyone's done something dumb like this before. Honestly, what harm did they do? They just looked like bored college students. And as far as I could tell, they just ran around and misused baseball phrases for all I know. Don't be a rat. Nobody likes a narc. On the other hand, these dudes were dumb enough to videotape themselves committing a crime and then posted it online. So if these guys got caught, I'm not going to be like, you know, crying the biggest tears. I don't understand. And you've seen a lot of this lately. People who will do something, either criminal or borderline criminal, and then they'll like post it online for the world to see.
Put it on TikTok.
And then put it on TikTok and just throw it on out there. And I can't think of anything dumber. It's like you just can't resist that brief moment of internet fame. Even if you know that it's going to get you arrested, it's going to get you fired from your job.
Yeah, but that's a lot of followers.
Listen, obviously.
A lot of clout.
Yeah, they're going to be able to eat free wherever they go. Yeah, that's right.
It's like, you're going to monetize that somehow.
That's like a nice, you know, a nice day in jail for, you know, like, I don't know, like a bunch of clicks. That's probably something.
Popular. Check me out.
Well, all right, it's like that guy who we talked about. We played the clip of who was the quote-unquote streaker at the Super Bowl. He's like, dude, I got club appearances left and right. Okay. Like, yo, that's fame that will never end.
Trending on Snapchat for a whole afternoon. That's right. On his way home from getting released from the courthouse, he was like, I'm trending on Snapchat.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Okay. Yeah,
this is a thing now.
It's so fascinating to me how they're just, you can't resist. You can't resist doing it. And this is happening all over the place. Well, first of all, one of the things that was like nuts was, you know, like all the videos of the people who were, you know, storming the Capitol and everything, you know, all that ended up being used as evidence against these guys, and they're all finding all of them. And I keep thinking, most of these videos were self-filmed. Like, they filmed themselves going in.
Yep.
And what was crazy about it all was that, you know, there was that one website, what was called Parler, that a lot of people put it on. Mm-hmm. And I guess that once all those videos were posted on there, somebody went in with just this hard drive, this massive hard drive, and just took all the videos and used them as evidence. And that got me thinking, I wonder if that was just set up by the government. Like that website in general, it's almost like
Parler.
Commit a crime, we're going to keep an eye on you. It's basically like, you know, having a bar that somebody opens called, you know, the Crime Plotters Bar. Come on in. We'll serve you. And, you know, it's like
bank robberies over in this section and, you know.
Have a seat.
Violent crimes over here. And sit down. Plan it out.
Dude, and I don't know if I wouldn't have done something stupid like that, too, back when I was in college. And we all did dumb stuff before. We all snuck into stuff. And you told your friends about it, and half the time they didn't believe you. So, you know, what's the way you do it? You put it on social media. But I don't know if I would do something like that dumb.
Well, so this isn't going to get them – I mean, they look college age. This isn't going to get them, like, kicked out of school, right? I don't think so.
I hope not. I hope cooler heads prevail.
You get a fine for trespassing and you're on your way, right?
Well, right. Yeah. So, you know, maybe the clout was worth it.
Man, I don't know. I see this happen all the time.
It's just a fine and you're on your way. You're not getting kicked out of school. It's not going to prevent you from future employment, is it? So, I don't know.
Have you ever had a friend that was dumb enough to film their own crime and post it on social media? 617-779-0985.
What was the worst thing you did when you were younger?
I did a bunch of
something like that. It's something like, you know, you were
incriminate yourself.
Actually, you know what, John? I'm not going to say it. Yeah. So, I mean, I've kept it quiet for many, many years. Yeah. And now you're like, what's the word? Did you ever kill somebody?
I have a video that I've been keeping on my phone for a while. I've been thinking about putting on social media.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, so
now's a good time to do it. Now, just, you know.
I think you understand.
It's Ash Wednesday. Why don't you, you know, it's like everybody come clean or I'll go to confession. Come on. Oh, that's right, John. You're not religious.
No, I don't have to worry about that stuff.
Okay. I snuck into a million things. Yeah. I mean,
what crimes have you gotten away with?
Sure. No, but I don't know if I wouldn't have filmed it and put it up there. I don't think I would have been that dumb if it was like an actual crime. I've got like a huge scar in the back of my leg because I went to there was this outdoor music venue that had these big, like, tall wooden fences with the like point at the top. And I think I was in college and it was the Ramones' final tour before, I guess, the what's his name died. And so I was like, I had no money. So I thought I would try to sneak in. And this dude saw me as I was trying to climb the fence. And I quickly tried to go over, and the back of my thigh got caught on one of those points and just sliced open my leg.
Oh, no.
And meanwhile, I hear this guy yelling. So I jump into this. It was an outdoor venue. So there's like a sea of porta potties. And I jumped into one of the porta potties and I had to sit and just huff that stench for probably about a good 20 minutes until the guy was gone. And so there I was walking around like a bleeding leg at this concert, which I kind of fit in probably. I've done that. Heck, I've on the radio.
That's probably like a cold case. They've probably been like trying to track you down for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. They finally caught me.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have filmed that and put it on online. I've actually gotten – it's funny because I've gotten onto the pitcher's mound of the baseball field during the All-Star game or like the morning of the All-Star game one time. They were having it when I first started in radio.
That's where they pitch.
Yeah, that's how I did it. So that's where they pitch. Yeah. And the whole thing was like, can you get on the field? And my whole thing was that if you just look like you know what you're doing, people let you in anywhere. So what I did was I put on a suit and I grabbed a clipboard. And live on the air, I walked over to Turner Field at the time where the All-Star game was going to be later on that night. And I just pretended I was on my phone. And when security was there, I just pretended I was talking on the phone, looking at my clipboard going, yeah. Well, we got to get this thing done. And nobody blinked an eye. And I made it right to the pitcher's mound. And sure enough, took a picture and then left after that. So I guess I have done stuff dumb enough. But then again, that was because I was instructed to by my bosses at the time. Let's go to... Ryan on line two. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up?
So I had a buddy who used to videotape himself going into Walmart and taking the video games, and he would directly go to GameStop across the street and get like $20 for like five or six games and end up posting on social media, and about the fifth time he got caught.
So hang on.
For like $100.
So he didn't
even like maybe 100 at the most, but that was like he would take games that were like $60 brand new, and then he'd turn them in for like $20 a piece.
So did he work at Walmart and he was stealing them from there and then just going across the street?
No, he just kind of walked in there and took the games, put them down his pants, videotaped it, and then walked across and sold it at GameStop.
What a dumbass. All right, just put the whole thing on video. It's just for that moment of fame, and then next thing you know, you're under arrest. Let's go to Robert on line one. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Morning. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, we stuck into so many shows in the 90s. Like, you know, they put the bracelet on. We'd have the colored bracelets out in the car, and that was the best. Can't do that kind of stuff anymore. But as far as these guys going into, you know, Fenway Park, it's like, you know, you said the police are looking for him. You know, yeah. Really, I guess it's a good time to rob a bank, right? Like, you know what I mean? As they're all looking for them. But listen, let me make a political point real quick. I know you guys might not want to hear it, but, you know, Marty Walsh takes $1 million of his campaign fund and siphons it into his girlfriend's.
All right, I don't want to hear about this. All right, come on, dude. I don't want to hear about
this. Seriously, really? Going to do that now?
That's a good segue.
I don't really care about that right now. All I know is that...
I thought that was a smooth transition.
Yeah. Oh,
remember the guy that was in the store and he was videotaping himself licking the ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's... you know, you have an intent to, like, that's not cool because you don't know where you've been and doing, you know, stuff like that. But he wanted the fame on whatever the video,
right.
Maybe it was a Vine video or something at the time. But yeah, he's like, oh, I'm licking the ice cream and then putting it back.
Right. Yeah.
And what's the end game to that again?
Well, we should check up and see how he's doing. You know,
see, if you want to go viral, do something that just like F's you up, you know, like don't do something that's going to affect someone. There was one guy, because I mean, we all obviously know the story of the Gorilla Glue woman who got it in her hair. And to be quite honest, I watched that and I was like, oh my gosh, who's this crazy person? I actually felt bad for her when I was done watching. I was like, all right, because it almost seemed like there was legitimate confusion as to whether or not that would help her hair. And I know that sounds weird. I'm giving her way probably too much of a benefit of the doubt, but I actually felt bad for her. But then the next day I heard there was another Gorilla Glue thing, and this wasn't a guy who just like mistakenly put it in his hair. No, he took Gorilla Glue and put it around the rim of one of those red Solo cups,
yep.
And then stuck it over his mouth.
Yeah.
And it got, and he had to get surgery for it. Like that, I'm like, all right, jackass, well, you get what you deserve. Like that I completely understand. I see what's happening here. But, I mean, if you're going to do that, then, you know, just have it – you be the only idiot. Somebody makes an interesting point, which would suck if this was the case. But they're saying that, you know, Fenway is a vaccination center right now, and breaking in there might actually be a way bigger deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm.
So before that was the case, maybe just breaking into Fenway would get you a slap on the wrist. Maybe you had to pay like a $100 fine or something like that. But now that it's a vaccination center, you know, maybe there's some sort of crazy, weird-ass thing that they're going to get fined for. All I'm saying is that don't turn these guys in. They're dumbasses for filming it. They shouldn't have put it out there. As far as I know, they didn't cause any harm. And all I know is that if Bird was indeed there, he probably wouldn't have done anything. Yeah. But I would like to think that would have been the perfect ending to the video if they would have got it.
Would have been slipping all over the snow out there.
That'd have been nice. Yeah. That would have been nice. All right, 617-779-0985. We got Mike Gorman coming on at 8:20 to talk about last night's much-needed Celtics win, and Billy Jaffe will be on at 9.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones with us this morning. And real quick, Dan, I heard you mention it's Ash Wednesday for us Catholics.
Whoa! I'm a recovering Catholic.
Recovering Catholic. Okay.
Don't lump me in with you, my friend.
So you are not indeed getting the ashes to go today, where they've got the cool little packet they throw in your car.
Oh, do they as you drive by? It's like a drive-by.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah. Because of COVID, I know that I got an email from my church that you can drive by today, kind of like you're at the old Sonic and just honk on the horn.
Drive by ashing.
Right. They'll come out.
And then I put them on myself? What, is it really?
Oh, yeah. They come out, and apparently, they like a Frisbee, they throw this little plastic packet full of ashes that has a Q-tip in it and go, foop, into your car, and you go,
Domino's made a commercial about that, where they, like, Frisbee you the pizza.
The way I was reading it, that's how I'm imagining it, is that they come by, and it's almost like, you know, or maybe they do it kind of like the paper footballs. When we were kids, you used to play in class where they fold it up and they would just flick it into your window that way. And you go, thanks, Father. And then you take it on home. And, you know, they probably have like a little a special way on how to do it, like a little diagram. And then you take the little Q-tip and you put it on your head. And then you can walk around your house and you got your ashes. You got your own drive-through ash kit on Ash Wednesday. So I got that to look forward to.
Wow.
So around 10:45 today, it's going to be a party at the shirt.
Because actually, you're looking for things to do. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't think I got excited? I was like, whoa, I get to do something.
That's right.
I get to roll down the window and find out how Father's aim is. Boom. She flings it right in there. Maybe he's on the disc golf course. Maybe he's got his arm all ready to go.
At some point, they'd be throwing vaccines at people. Like, they'd just, you know, start throwing needles and shots into arms.
We sure
because if you can drive by the church and get your ashes.
That would be nice. That would be nice. So it's Ash Wednesday to go. I need to follow up on something. So the very first break of the show this morning, I'm just fascinated by this because we've been talking about Jack Easterby a lot. I mean, he's, you know...
I often call him Nick at Night. That's funny.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, he's the guy who used to be the moral arbiter. And what was the name of the
character? Character coach.
Yeah, character coach. Yeah. Okay. The judge. Your moral judge over for the Patriots. And then he went to the Texans. And in 2 years, he has basically just, I mean, according to writers, has wrecked everything from the inside. He has moved his way up the organization. He's pissed off Deshaun Watson. He's part of the reason Deshaun Watson's pissed off. He's not the entire reason, but a lot of people have been pointing directly at Jack Easterby and his rise of power. And, you know, we were talking about him, and somebody said that there was what looked like a burner account that could be him. And if you look and you read all the stuff, he's very defensive of Jack Easterby. He gets very angry when people rip on him. And I guess when we were talking about it the other day, he was very angry at Bert Breer for talking about Jack Easterby. And some of our listeners have been getting direct messages from this guy back and forth, including our own Mike Lockhart, who had been going back and forth. And last night, not only did Mike Lockhart, but also John from Vegas of Sarge Sucks Calls fame got put on this list. First, it was the this guy's name on Twitter is JC Prepper. First, they were put on a watch list. It says JC Prepper has put you on their watch list, which once again, I just learned this morning what that was. And then Mike and John from Vegas were both put on another list last night called the More Info Needed list.
Oh boy.
So I don't know what that means, why they need more info, but if you could bring Mike Lockhart in for a minute.
Mike Lockhart. Double okay, secret probation. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what info he would want, but Mike Lockhart and this guy like started DMing back and forth. And I don't know how it started, but it's been very, very weird. And a lot of our listeners have sent me screen caps of this JC Prepper account. Once again, we don't know if it's Jack Easterby, but it sure feels like it.
Mm. Mike's here.
Okay, so Mike, once again, can you read the back and forth that you got with Jack Easterby?
I do not have my phone.
Okay, all right.
The phone in the other room.
Well, needless to say, this guy does not like, and he's like, hey, Jack, and he goes, don't call me Jack.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Okay, and he's like, I'm just a guy who knows a lot about everything, and you know, somebody, and you're going to be on the wrong side of history if you, you know, say bad things about Jack Easterby, blah, 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 blah. And so I said, well, if this guy wants us to know the truth, and he's tweeted us as well, too, and he does not like what we've, you know, been saying. And by the way, we're just reporting what John McClain, who writes for the Houston Chronicle, is closer to that team than any other reporter is saying. He was like, you guys need to know the truth. And I told Mike, well, he's reached out to you on direct message. Tell him to come on the show. Ask him if he wants to come on the show. He obviously wants to tell his side of the story. And let's get this person who isn't Jack Easterby to come on the show with us. Now, Mike, have you heard back from him since you reached out this morning?
I have not. I reached out at 6:17 and I have not heard back yet.
Okay. All right. I want you to keep us updated on this. Because he has been extremely vocal with our listeners going back and forth.
Maybe he's got to go. He's got to go pick up some ashes to go or something like that.
He's got
stuff to do.
JC Prepper of all days. You would think today JC Prepper might be busy.
He might be walking around with like a giant
Ash
cross
Wednesday.
Somewhere.
He doesn't hit me as a Catholic. That's not.
No.
Youth pastor guys are not usually Catholics.
Oh, okay.
You know. Listen, we've got some corny priests who tell corny jokes. That's true, and I've been around a lot of them. But I mean, that's usually something different. Like that's. Okay. Like I don't know. It's not that. That's not a Catholic deal. It doesn't feel like it. I mean,
hey Luke, I am your father, right? Okay.
I don't know. Now that I hear that, I've heard some bad priest jokes in my time, but that I don't believe is it. So if you hear back from him, let me know because I want to get this guy
updating,
on
refreshing every 5 minutes. I'm ready for this.
Okay, because remember he is an hour behind us if he's out of Houston. Yeah. So maybe that's the case. Now, now in the 8 o'clock hour, he has gone back and forth with our listeners before, and I guess a couple of our other listeners were put on the more info needed.
Oh boy.
List that he has created. What is he doing? Research, trying to find out who you are, and I.
Yeah, he might be sitting on my stoop when I get home waiting for me.
How great would that be if it actually wasn't him? It was just a huge fan of Jackie's.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being like a Jack Easterby super fan.
He's got a Texans jersey with Easterby on the back.
And a cross right underneath it. Yeah.
And defending his honor. All right. So just keep me updated on all that. In the meantime, I heard, John, in your headlines saying that today is the first day of spring training. Okay. Do me a favor. Let me just give you this. When it comes to the Red Sox season, there are two legitimate things that I'm excited about, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but there are. And I had to rack my brain and think about it. Two.
Okay. Sounds
high. And neither of them has to do anything with the product that's on the field. Number one is the first of the live sports with actual crowds. Because it feels to me like the timing is going to be right that somewhere in the middle of the season, we're going to, because of the way things are going, have a nearly full crowd at Fenway. Am I wrong in thinking that? That sometime in the middle of the summer, once the numbers are going down, the vaccines are out there, it's going to be, like, cathartic.
I would think sometime in July or August, you would start to see sizable crowds that aren't, like, 5,000. I would think you'd get at least a half full place by July or August.
You could put the worst team in baseball history on that field, and damn it, I want to go to that game. Like, I want to go to Fenway. Tell me you're not dying for live sports.
Sure, but not the Red Sox. But yes, live sports, yes.
I don't care. Like, there's, like, I think that,
well,
there's
going to be that, a thing. You say that until Nick Pivetta gives up five runs in the first inning.
John,
and it's
shut up
nothing.
About the actual game. I don't care about what's on the field right now.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
See, I do too. I think it's great right until you sit down and watch a bad product.
Oh. I've never wanted to pay $12 for a beer more in my life than I do right effing now.
Well, I will also say we have not been trapped on an island for 10 months. That's a good point.
It's not even that. It's just to be able to be like in a feeling of normalcy. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, the one thing that's great about Fenway is that it's kind of if the weather's nice, there's nothing better than going to a baseball game, no matter how bad it is. And I know that that's kind of very Dan Roach of me to say that, but I've never felt that more than I do right now in the middle of a pandemic.
By the way, Dan's up on social media. Did you see this? Dan has already tweeted out a picture of him. You know, he's got his arm around. Now, I'll give you a guess. He's got his arm around a certain someone who's connected with the Red Sox. What picture do you think Dan tweeted out this morning?
Now, did it just happen or is it a class?
It just happened this morning.
Was it a crime?
No.
It wasn't.
No.
Okay.
To celebrate baseball coming back, because today's the first day of pitchers and catchers. Who do you think Dan's arm's around?
Pedro.
No, Wally.
Oh, Wally. You're right.
I thought you were going to say it was the two guys the police are looking for.
No.
Dan Roach with like the two guys, because he was there.
Yeah. Dan was jealous. He let him in.
Dan waved him in, yeah.
Better way to celebrate baseball returning than Wally?
Okay, so that is the I can't wait for this all to be over part of me. Like, that to me is going to symbolize this. It's going to be a great moment when you're able to go
the
to
Red
Fenway.
Sox.
And there's a full, okay, now, John,
yes,
and I dare say, Mr. I dare ask you, John,
yes,
as being probably the biggest Red Sox fan of the three of us, without a doubt.
Yeah,
give me one reason without boring me.
Okay,
impossible.
That I should give a rat's ass about the actual Red Sox team this year.
You shouldn't.
Okay.
You shouldn't. No, you shouldn't care about the Red Sox this year. I'm a mammoth Red Sox fan, and this is, you know, without getting into specifics and boring the crap out of people, this is what happens after you throw away all your prospects and spend all your money. And this is the back end of it. So this team is not going to be good for at least 2 or 3 years. And you take a look at all the people they brought in and all the people they had on the field last year. This is to be expected. This team's not going to be good this year.
I'll tell you I largely agree with you, but just to play devil's advocate, because I saw this earlier today. This story was making the rounds a little bit because FanGraphs, and you think of them what you will, like a nerdy website, projected the Orioles as a legitimate 0.0% chance of making the playoffs, which I don't know that you ever see that in a projection model. They have the Red Sox sixth highest in the American League, which would be the first team out of the playoffs.
That is stunning.
That sounds very high.
This team, and I've seen projections too, where
they have them at 47% chance to make the playoffs, which is more than double the Rays. The Rays are at 19%.
You have all the websites running simulations of the season, and I saw a couple of them, and I think I sent this to you. USA Today polled all their baseball people. And they have the Red Sox at or near 500, which I think would be a tremendous accomplishment with this
group. You know what? If you give me a 500, I can't believe I'm saying this. If you give me a 500 baseball team and just the ability to go see live baseball and go to a crowd full of people and enjoy a game, that's a win.
I'm out.
Like, to me, I don't care. I'm at the point where, as I said, it's not even about the game to me right now. It's just about being able to do it. And so that's the one thing that actually makes me think about baseball. Woo. Now, will that get old after the first two times I go? Absolutely.
First like,
then it's done, and then you actually have to play baseball.
I give you three innings. I give you three innings.
Under.
You're probably right.
Three innings when they're behind 5-0. Three innings.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. And, you know, the only other thing, and I was really trying to rack my brain, the only other thing that gets me even the slightest bit, I don't want to say excited, but just it's not a negative, is that they still have Dennis Eckersley. That's it.
But like, you can't see him at the ballpark, man. You got to watch him on TV.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, there's nothing outside of the fact that you might hear Dennis Eckersley, you know, drop some stupid thing there. And to be honest, his stories between him and Jerry Remy are pretty good. And the fact that you might be able to go to a game are the only two things I'm looking forward to with this Red Sox team this year. Because everything else, dude, this is going to suck. That team, everything I've seen about this team and everything I've read about it, other than what you just said, where they might end up making the playoffs, just says to me, it's not even that they're going to suck. It's just going to be mediocre and boring. And, you know, but then again, it's the chance to go. It just seems awesome right now. I don't want to be
spend
around
$15
people.
On a beer, and
I want to get coughed
$40
on
a bleacher seat,
and people breathing on
$30 for parking
to watch a $205 million payroll stink.
Yeah,
nobody
second highest
see.
Payroll in Major League Baseball to win 75 games.
Yeah. I want to pay too much to not even face the batter's box.
Hey, you'll get your chance, man. If you that's what you genuinely want, you'll get your chance.
I don't think there's gonna be a lot of competition for you, Rich. You're going to be front of the line.
By the way, I just got John from Vegas ended up tweeting us and said that I had to fight fire with fire. Because remember, the JC Prepper put John from Vegas on the more info needed thing. Mm-hmm. And John from Vegas apparently put JC Prepper on the more examination needed list.
See,
and he followed. Oh, there's a real Jack Easterby account.
Here we
go. So he followed him as well.
Yeah, here we go. This is how it starts. This is it. Remember, it all started as innocent with him and Sarge, and then a year later, we were still doing it. This is how it starts.
Never, ever get on the bad side of John from Vegas.
Never, ever.
So we shall see how that goes. And hopefully, we'll hear something back soon. All right. 617-779-0985. Here's John Wallach's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.